Oh, my head. Man, that was a difficult jump. Now listen to me, I'm becoming such an expert in the nuances of time travel, so adept at charting their individual characteristics that I can actually tell you how different one is from the other. This is just two, for heaven's sakes. The first time, whatever, threw me back to 1997, and now, well, I don't know where I am. Except, of course, that I'm in the diner. It's deserted. Oddly pristine, as though never used. Well, I'd best carry on as normal, I guess. What else to do? Sit around and panic and wonder where this is all leading me? Hi, folks. James Lilacs, sitting here... sitting? Yes, I'm sitting on the stool, so gravity still applies then. I am not hurtling through some space-time continuum interdimensional rift. There appears to be gravity here. That's good. Sitting at the long boomerang pattern formica counter out of the old diner on old Highway 23... I hope. God, I hope. It's possible that some sort of time field has enveloped the diner, that if I were really to step outside, well, I tried that last time, almost killed myself, but that the diner still exists and hasn't been physically ripped up and thrown back, because that would be ridiculous. This is all ridiculous. I'm sorry. If you're just joining me, I just pity the hell out of you, because this is just stupid. If I can just briefly recap, then... The diner was sold, out from underneath us, by a mysterious, shadowy syndicate of investors from the East. Come to think of it, I don't know if that's the East as in New York or the East as in the Orient. It's a rather strange term, rather indistinct. I'm going back East, really? China or New York? Can't quite say. Let me check my ticket. So the guys bought the diner, and we were all worried about what was going to happen. Well, some people were worried. I wasn't. Can't fire everybody. You still need cooks. You still need waitresses. Can't fire the customers. Relax, everybody. But then, what to my wondering eye should appear but a 9-foot Terminator robot from the future that looked like the Pillsbury Doughboy? And I know what you're saying. Well, duh, happens all the time around these parts. What makes you so special? Apparently, I sent the damn thing back myself at some point in the future to effect the sale of the diner. How? I have no idea whatsoever. Nobody's told me anything. I didn't tell me anything, which means in the future that I'm just as shoddy and don't look ahead to plan things out like this sentence type person that I am now. So it just stood there for about 3 months. Fly. Fly is the other thing that's followed me into the past. Anyway, it stood there for about 3 months and did nothing, and then it came to life. The eyes glowed red. It clambered up on top of the diner, and there was a strange sound and an electric crackling in the air, and all the hair in my arms stood up, and we were... shot back to what I eventually realized was 1997. And still, you know, what did I do? I spent the afternoon sitting around listening to my old show on the radio, which was only slightly painful. And nothing happened. And then came that sound again, and shazam, and now here I am, here, and I don't know where. Well, the jukebox has been absolutely no help whatsoever. It just keeps playing the same damn song in different iterations. But maybe it'll give me a clue this time. All right, in a triumph of hope over experience, I'm going to press A1.
You must remember this.
God in Himmel, I'm in hell. Wait a minute. If you remember from last time, if you were with us, or with me... me and the fly, which would be us, I listened to the radio. I got the radio hooked up, and there's no reason that I can't do that now and see exactly what's playing. Provided, of course, that I'm in some place that can pick up radio waves. Well, what the hell? Here, well, look at that. That's weird. The radio was where I left it last time, even though I've gone back. So things that I move here in this time period will remain in that time period in the past. That's very interesting. That's interesting information. Well, let's just turn on the radio and see if it tells us what decade we're in. And when you think about it, you know, unless you get news, you know, the top of the hour stuff, it's really hard to tell sometimes from the radio what era it is. In the era where I live, used to, in 2007, you could turn on the radio and hear Stairway to Heaven. You could hear Huey Lewis in the News. You could hear any number of songs that have Imagine by John Lennon. You could hear things that just refused to... Money by Pink Floyd. Money by Pink Floyd. Nobody ever needs to hear Money by Pink Floyd again. Ever. We all get the point. Dum, 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 dum. So it's not always as specific as it used to be. I've listened to enough old radio to know that when those guys played an old song, and an oldie to those guys was, you know, was a year ago, that they would announce it. They would bracket it with some special sound effects. Golden oldies! And then they'd play the song, and then they'd get right back out of it and get you back into the current era, because the modern age, the sound of today was what they were pushing. But not today. Not today. It's hard to tell where the hell you are. But all right, let's turn on the radio and see if it gives us any hints. I'm sure that if it does, they're going to be incredibly subtle, and we're going to have to listen to the whole darn song to figure out just where we are. Yes! We have music again! Speedboats, flamingos, bikinis, and Hi-Li. Yes, we're in the 80s. Yes, I love the 80s. Well, now, anyway, at the time I didn't. At the time I thought we were all going to die in a nuclear holocaust and end up wandering the blasted landscape in a Mad Max-type post-apocalyptic nightmare. But, you know, it didn't happen, so in retrospect, that's looking pretty good. Miami Vice was high 80s culture, and the opening credit sequence, from which that music is taken, of course, showed some people something they'd not seen before, and I don't just mean the extremely taut bottoms of the women walking out of a Art Deco structure in bikinis. I mean that building, the blue, tall, thin residential skyscraper with a hole punched right in the middle of it, square hole through which you could actually see the sky on the other side. And it had a palm tree in that whole area, too. How absurd! And a yellow circular staircase, if I remember correctly. It was by the design firm of Architectonica, who were in the vanguard of what was then called the postmodern architectural movement. And I remember looking at that at the time and thinking, wow, that's different. They're using primary colors, unapologetically. And indeed they were. It was very simple in those days to be postmodern, and hence modern. All you had to do was use primary colors. And simple geometric shapes. Geometric shapes were all the rage in the early 80s. You had the cube, you had the sphere, you had the cone. And that was it. Put any one of those on a matchbook and people know this must be a hot new restaurant. Put all three of them on and, well, it's got to be a really hot dance club full of hip moderns. Oh, and there was the grid, too. Yeah, the grid. For some reason, the grid was futuristic. Computer graphics had become capable of generating these grids over which the camera would move. In the late 70s, you may remember them being used in the opening credit sequence to The Black Hole, otherwise useless movie, except for the score. But by the 80s, the power required computationally to generate a grid apparently had moved down to lesser computers. So the grid, the future grid, man, the cyber grid, we weren't even calling it that yet, were showing up in local commercials. So if you put the cylinder, the sphere, and the cube on top of a grid. Oh, God, that you got a dance club that might as well be from 1990 or some other inconceivably futuristic year. Of course, we thought that the 1990s would signal the beginning of the 90s, but of course that wasn't the case. Decades never begin and end in the neat fashion. They don't start with a zero and end with a nine. It's a mindset that travels all over and is hard to pin down. You like to think so. But if you look at 1980, it looks an awful lot like 1978. The 70s, for that matter, didn't begin until about 1973. Prior to that, it was just the last gasps of the 60s until they collapsed upon themselves in a fetid heap. In about 1973, all of the cultural elements were in place, from mediocre politics to a sense of diminished international stature, dimmed economic horizons, orange shag rug everywhere. Faux mansard roofs, hee-haw, Dukes of Hazzard, disco polyester, the whole gimcracky culture through which we suffered. Oh, we were cheerful at the time, of course, but the minute I was out of the 70s and looking back, I knew that that was a sinkhole of bad taste, and I've never stopped despising it. Of course, most of the stuff that was interesting culturally in the 80s was a result of or a reaction to the 70s, and boy, isn't that a brave statement to make, but it's true. The music was dominated by punk and new wave, both of which came out of the Britain in the 70s. I could never be a punk. I'm sorry, North Dakota middle-class kid couldn't quite carry off the I'm a spotty-faced, sunken-chested member of the Dole whose dad was laid off from the coal mines in 48, and hence I'm going to pierce my various body parts with a safety pin and rend my garments and tease my hair into glued stalactites. It didn't quite fit with the whole North Dakota ethos. New Wave I could carry off, though. New Wave was different. New Wave was, punk guys who could actually play their instruments and write their songs. And instead of debasing the human form, they actually tried to stylize it up a little bit. Go down to the thrift store, buy a nice 60s suit with a sharp, thin tie. You were New Wave, man. So I was a New Wave kind of guy. But, like I said, the 80s at the time weren't always particularly pleasant because I was convinced, as a sensitive young follower of current events, that we were all going to die, man, because Ronald Reagan came into office with the strict desire and intention of starting a nuclear war. We all knew this to be the case. Ronnie Reagan. I was clever about the first couple of months of 1981. So every single act of international tension we were convinced was going to lead to the day after. That's all there was to it, you know? Some guy in Greece shoots himself in the head, and the next thing you know, somehow it spreads to the Warsaw Pact. That was always it. You know, there would be something that would spread to the Warsaw Pact. And even in a day after, I remember that what caused the nuclear holocaust in that movie? I believe it was something that had spread to the Warsaw Pact, and they had riots in the barracks, and then the Soviets, to put down the riots, had decided, ah, what the hell, and invaded Western Europe, as was their wont. And then the big intercontinental ballistic missile swap meet took place, and people's stories were tragically cut short. And then there was another hour of television, and then everybody was just bummed. Bummed. There's a lot of bummery in the 80s over stuff like that, if you were of a sensitive mind. And it was very hard, really, at the time, to watch movies like The Day After, which was sort of presented as a documentary. We all know what's going to happen. Come on! We're not getting out of this alive. And to simultaneously plan for your future, but yet people did. Yet, somehow we soldiered on. Oh, we're not going to make it, man. Something's going to happen. Reagan's going to do something stupid. He's gonna be like putting missiles in Europe or something, and then there'll be unrest that'll spread to the Warsaw Pact, and then there'll be, and then we're all gonna die, and the living will envy the dead, and it'll be nuclear winter and all the rest of it. And God, look at this interest rate I'm paying for my MBA here. I can't believe this because I need these classes because I got to get my. If I don't get my postgraduate degree, there's no way I'm gonna get a job, you know, selling long bonds on Wall Street. So it was interesting how you had to sort of live in both mindsets. I'm going to assume that I'm going to die. I'm going to assume that we're all going to live. Which one will be dominant this weekend? Will hedonism take root, or will I plan for the future? And then, of course, along came herpes. People forget herpes. Oh, Lord. Herpes was everybody's trial run for AIDS. The scarlet letter, H. Everybody thought they had herpes. Everybody probably did have herpes. But, I mean, people were just afraid to share. Well, I mean, frankly, people were in my circle were terrified of sharing needles, and it was all because of herpes, which was just completely overblown. No, I'm kidding. Of course, nobody shared needles in my circle. Didn't even share, you know, cigarettes because of the herpes. Anyway, I enjoyed the 80s. I ended it a different man than I began it, which is probably a good idea. Everybody comes out of a decade or whatever you want to call that area contained within those chronological parentheses. Everybody comes out of it a different person in some way, but I don't think any decade remade me stem to stern like the 80s did. And it's because I was in my 20s. I entered it romantically frustrated and uncertain of my career and pretentious and underemployed and wondering what the hell I was going to do with my life. And none of those things were. Every one of those things had flipped around by the end of the decade, except For the pretentiousness part, I suppose, if you want to really be fair about it. Yeah, well. I remember when it was over, though. I do remember the day that I knew the 80s were over. Keep in mind that we make fun of the 80s for its various fashion cues, and I suppose we should. Women's power suits with the padded shoulders, in retrospect, do look a bit ridiculous. Although they were cool at the time, they had that Wonder Woman thing going on, which was undercut immediately, of course, by the ridiculous bows that women in the workplace were required to wear. I believe by federal law, there's no other explanation. Men, well, I never put my collar up. I belong to a class of people who ridiculed people who put their collars up. But, you know, when you compare the whole Izod, Ray-Bans, collar-up look to its predecessor in the 70s with, people walking around in battered old ancient faded plaid shirts and bell-bottom jeans with the frayed cuffs and the wide belts and the wedgy shoes and the hair straight cut parted in the middle and the wire-rimmed glasses and aviator rims and the wire gold chains around the neck and all the rest of the fashion faux pas that everybody willfully donned in those days. The idea of some straight leg jeans and Ray-Bans and a good-looking shirt had a certain appeal, shall we say. And laugh all you will. Laugh, a monkey boy, at my members-only jacket. But when you consider what I was wearing in the 70s again, you know, gigantic parka with a faux fur-rimmed hood and, I can't even, words just fail me. So anyway, it looked a little better. And there was a certain amount of 80s style that I appreciated. But there was a point where I was sitting at the Giant Swede's apartment and we were watching MTV. And what comes on but a Miles Davis video. And Miles Davis is, his lip is just shot. He can't blow anything. And he's just sort of squeaking out a couple of notes every 38 bars. But he's standing there looking like the icon of cool that, of course, he was, or that we were told that he was. I never particularly cared for him. And he was wearing orange, no, burnt orange parachute pants. And I thought, it's over. That's it. It's done. Everything that we learned in the 80s is done. The 80s were the decade of tightening it up. Everything got a little tighter. And now we're going to loosen it up again. And that's what we did. So the point that I'm trying to make, and I have no idea what I'm talking about, could perhaps be summed up in this. In the 70s, didn't know what the hell we were doing. Everybody was wandering around in the cultural desert. The 80s had cultural direction. The 80s had a certain amount of cultural momentum. The 90s had momentum because of the internet. We could sit at our desk and click around at a lot of stuff and pretend that we were actually accomplishing something or learning something or doing something as opposed to passively absorbing information in an entirely new way. But the aughts lack that cultural momentum. We're just sort of running around and looking up at the sky, it seems, sometimes. Well, it's a shame. I mean, here I am in the 80s, and I can't go enjoy them. If I walk out the door to the diner, I'll probably be swallowed by whatever sort of time-space blackness exists out there. Pity. If you had money and a firm grasp on who you were, and the knowledge that it wasn't all going to end in a thermonuclear exchange by 1987, I imagine the 80s would have been a hell of a lot of fun. As it was, I spent half the 80s in a dim basement of a college bar playing pinball and asteroids with my good friends. And you know what? That was fun, too. All right, let's go back to the radio. There's got to be some classic 80s music playing here now, eh?
Cause I know that fish don't swim. I miss it all so much. Bouncy, synth pop, new wave Australian bands, bluesy, rootsy music, all happily coexisting on the radio at once. Oh, to go back without thinking that the world was going to end anytime soon. What if it is out there? What if that's what I'm meant to do? What if I'm actually meant to leave the diner and do something in 1987? What if the coldness that I feel when I put my hand through the blackness and the door is just a barrier, and I have to get through it, and once I'm through the barrier, I'll be there. I'll be in 1987. And I'll do whatever it is I'm supposed to do, and then I'll, of course, come back here, and I hope get back to my child and wife and dog and home and life. But what if 1987 is out there waiting for me, and the sight of Miles Davis's parachute pants are 2 years away, 2 years, 104 weeks... to revel in the 80-ness of it all. To watch Crime Story as it first appeared, knowing what happens. Oh, man, that had an extra dimension to it. Wow. I'm going to do it. I can't take it anymore. But what if something happens? What if there actually is some sort of interdimensional rift and barrier and void out there to which I'll be sucked in and never make my way back? I know. Of course, I'll tie a rope around myself. What will I use for a rope? I'll use the fire hose. Which, of course, has never been used. Never seen it used anywhere, but I'll tie the fire hose around my leg, and I'll brace myself, and I'll go out the door. All right. First, I'll have to get the hose out. Oh, there was a handle. Oh, well, never mind. All right. I've got it all cinched up here. I can open the door, and out I go. I will be back. What's the worst that could possibly happen? Here I go! 3, 2, 1
Earth below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless, calling home.
Ah!
to self. Stay in diner. I don't even want to begin to describe that. But I'm very cold. Okay. Well, at least I'm here. At least I'm still in 1987. At least I'm still in a civilized place. No. Not again. Well, I've made the jump again. Everything still looks the same, untouched in here. Except the radio is where I left it, and I have a fire hose wrapped around my waist. And I'm cold, but I assume I've moved in time. If I'm lucky, I went home to 2007. If I'm not so lucky, I just moved back a year, and I'm in 1986. If I'm really unlucky, well, there's only one way to find out. I'm gonna have to turn on the radio and see where I am.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Yeah, the golden age of rhyming. Oh, I'm in the 70s. Well, what can I do but ride it out until the next jump pushes me back, until I figure out exactly what I'm supposed to do to keep the diner from being sold. I'll have to leave that for the next one. Thanks for coming by, folks. However the hell it is you're getting this. I'm James Lilex, and this has been The Diner for, I don't even know what day it is. Some point in the God-bereft benighted year of 1977. We'll see you down the road.